Andrew.
And welcome back here. As they say in the traditional talk radio venues,
hour number two.
Like hour number one wasn't bad enough. Here's hour number two, and we've got hour number three.
Yeah, at least it doesn't represent something having to do with a bodily function.
So in other words, hour two is supposed to be number two.
Yeah.
But you're just not that funny, man, especially when you're making references like that.
I told him. No, I didn't say anything. I just said hour two. It was like number two. That's they could say.
Yeah, welcome back. It's time for number two. Is that what you're referring to?
That's what he's referring to, yes.
And then, welcome back. It's time for number three.
Yeah.
Can we shut up, man?
Man, I hate the way he left. You have to give me permission to belt him.
No, you don't have permission to belt him.
Yeah. You wake up and belt me if you go to sleep and apologize.
That's not how that goes.
Man, that ain't how that goes at all. What an idiot, man. Wait, if you go to sleep and belt me.
No, you idiot. If you belt me in your sleep, you wake up and apologize.
That from Reservoir Dog? Yeah, I know it's from Reservoir Dog. Are you sure?
Yes, that's the most recent movie that had it, I guess. It's a very common badass thing to say. All right, welcome back to the show here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We are online at philhendryshow.com, which is the online home of the Phil Hendry Show. Every night we do a live video cast of our show. We have, and as we do the video cast, we have an audio portion to it. So the many questions that we've had from people, where can I stream your show live? Where can I stream your show live? Where can I hear your show live? Well, you can get a backstage pass, and you have the video stream, and you don't have to look at it. You can just hear it, see? Now, with the coming of our new website and the new platform, those of you who have iPhones and those of you with iPads, you'll be able to stream the show video-wise live. So you'll be able to, in essence, hear a stream of the show on our website as well. The extra added attraction being, if you call it an added attraction, and maybe it isn't, the fact that you're looking at my handsome mug.
Well, it's a little bit more handsome since you shaved that god-awful beard off, Mike.
Yeah, a lot of people making that comment, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, no, the beard was ugly, you know.
Why did you insist on wearing it for so long? You wanted to be ugly, didn't you? You wanted to push the female of the species away from you. And why? Because you didn't want your heart broken again. You know, Phil...
All right, well, you knock it off, okay? Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe,
Maybe you are right, maybe you are wrong. But it's none of your beeswax. Ain't that right, Mr. Henry?
Yeah. Yes, it's right, bud. Yeah.
Okay, do you feel better? Here's a dog biscuit.
Get out of here with a dog. Come on. Yeah, I shaved the beard off. Oh, look, welcome back to the show. I had a big, long, ugly-ass beard. I had big, long, ugly-ass hair. I'm just a big, tall, ugly-ass guy. I'm a big, ugly slob, and I look like a freak, but I was almost the heavyweight champion of the world. You put that down in your paper there, miss. Somewhere down there. Mountain Rivera was no punk. Mountain Rivera was almost the heavyweight champion of the world. Go.
Hey!
Cut. All right.
Was that from Requiem for a Heavyweight?
Yes, Requiem for a Heavyweight. One of my favorite movies, starring Anthony Quinn.
Well, it was... You don't want the French.
No, I... What French?
Anthony Quine.
Yeah, right.
Anthony Quine. You're kidding me.
Never mind.
Margaret, you know, you're going to have to show it to me in writing somewhere else for me to believe his name was Anthony Quine. I'm not going to buy that. New England Patriot quarterback Tom Brady slides to avoid a hit from Baltimore Raven free safety Ed Reed during the second quarter of the AFC Championship game at Gillette Stadium, January 20th, 2013. And as he slides, he sticks that big left leg up in the air with that big left foot, I think it was the left foot, and that big sharpened cleats. I don't know if they're sharpened or not, but he's got those big spikes that help the cleat grip the turf there at Gillette Stadium. And it was aimed right for the you-know-what there on Ed Reed, man. Ed Reed did a little bit of a hop and a skip and a vault over Mr. Brady. And it looked to me like Ed Reed was not forced over Brady by virtue of the kick, but that he forced himself over Brady to avoid making contact. Now, I believe there was contact made. Obviously, Ed Reed went off the field limping. So there was a temporary injury, some temporary type of injury to his leg that forced him off for at least one play, I think. The good news was that Ed Reed came back and finished the game. The bad news is all for Tom Brady. Because during the final minute of that first half, Brady, sliding to the ground at the end of a scramble with his legs raised up, hit Reed, who was not injured, but the slide angered some on the Ravens' sideline. Ed Reed, however, did not react with anger. He said, and I quote, "I know he's a great player," Reed said after the Ravens earned a spot against the 49ers in the upcoming Super Bowl 47. Is that 47? Can't be 47. Yeah, 47.
How do you know that? That's very interesting.
Wait a minute. Let me see that.
Get it out of my face. What are you looking at?
Super Bowl XLV.
No, man, that's Roman numeral, you idiot.
I know, but XLV11. What is that?
47.
How do you know?
Because the L is a 50.
Here, I'll tell you. The L is a 50.
Get that out of my nose. I'll do it. Thank you very much.
I know how to do it, too.
Good. Margaret knows how to do it, too.
So you want to tell him because you want the audience to think...
Yeah, that's right. I want the audience to think I'm so bitchin' because I know how to read Roman numerals, and they won't think that you're as cool as me.
Thanks a lot.
Jeez.
Oh, you're kidding.
Margaret, if that's really hanging you up, go ahead. Here, you do it.
No, I don't.
Bud, you see that X? That means... All right. There's an L. That's a 50. When you put an X in front of the L, you are subtracting 10 from the 50. An X is 10. An L is 50.
X is 10. L is 50.
Right. A V is 5, and those single I's are 1, the numeral 1. Now, XL means 40, because you put a X in front of the L, you're subtracting 10 from that 50. If that X were to follow the L, you would be adding 10, so it would be 60. So the L with the X in front of it, that's 40, and then the V11.
Well, the V11, that's after it. Doesn't that mean you subtract?
No, you idiot. Didn't you hear what he just...
Hey! Call me an idiot.
No, man. You put the L... And the X in front of it means it's subtracting 10. You put the stuff after it, you're adding.
Yeah, but...
Don't make it harder, man. I'm going to kill somebody if you guys start screwing around, okay?
I understand.
So that's why it's 47. Now, getting back to Ed... There, you got it?
Now, wait.
Quit breathing on me, bud. What is that, Cheetos or something?
Yeah, I didn't eat Cheetos.
Then why is your mouth orange?
Oh, you got into the Cheetos, you slob. I was saving those for after the show.
Just got into a part of them.
Your whole mouth is orange. Your fingers are orange. Go wash off, will you?
Thanks for the Cheetos.
They're mine.
What are you doing?
I'm going to go and see how many are left. Those were mine.
What is going on with this show, man?
I don't know. I mean, she bought the Cheetos.
What? Who get... So anyway, Ed Reed said, "I know that Tom Brady's a great player. I respect Brady and his game for all of it, for all that it stands for, and I know he's not a dirty player, and emotions get going in the game." Reed's teammate, Bernard Pollard, was less diplomatic. He said, "When you slide, obviously quarterbacks, they know how to slide. Everything's on the ground." He knew what he was doing. Hopefully the NFL will do something about it. When it's all said and done, if you want to keep the game clean, you want the things going in the right direction, everybody needs to be penalized for their actions. I agree with that. And I'll bet you anything that Tom Brady would agree with that. John Harbaugh, the Ravens coach, said Brady warranted a fine. "I saw the same thing you saw," Harbaugh said. "I saw the same thing everybody saw, so that would be in the league's hands." Brady did text an apology to Mr. Reed. Now, he got fined $10,000. And I think this is an interesting little side issue, folks. I mentioned this when I was watching the 49er game, Falcon game. I saw Frank Gore with his socks down around his ankles. And that's the way they wear them in college ball, but you don't wear them that way in the pros. In the pros, they want those socks pulled up, and that's the professional look. Frank Gore, for whatever reason, either the socks had fallen and he hadn't adjusted them, or he wasn't wearing the right kind of socks, but he was wearing he had a bare-legged look out there. He got fined by the NFL, which will happen if you're not wearing the right... if your uniform is not on right, but he got fined $10,000 too.
So they fined him the same amount of money they got Brady?
So he got fined the same amount of money that Brady got fined. Now, either Brady's getting a break, or Frank Gore.
Think they're related?
Ha, 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 ha. Very funny. Frank Gore, either Brady got a break, or Frank Gore's getting screwed, or something's weird. Or maybe they don't. I don't know anything about it. I don't know how they, you know, how things are quantified in the NFL, but wearing your socks down around your ankles and almost gelding a guy with your cleat, it's worth the same amount of money. So that's a beautiful thing. I'm not complaining. It's cool. And that's in the players' hands, too. When they say that it's in everybody, the league's hands, those things are in the players' hands because there's a players' union, and they don't sign off on all of that unless they sign off on it. All right, we'll be coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Tiger Woods is now dating Lindsey Vonn, the Olympic skier. That's real, you know, sort of interesting, I guess. Five ways to understand just how absurd Spain's 26% unemployment rate is. 26%, you got to love that. And other news here as we move through this Thursday night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Oh, wait,
truth,
some kids.
He's our bitch.
The kids Phil did a really Hendry cool show. Thing. We'll tell you about that.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. Got a very, very, very sweet story. It's not a very long story. It's not very involved. It's just a nice, sweet thing done for a boy at a high school, a kid with a disability, by three of his buddies. And we'll tell you about it in a moment. We have Father James McCorders, though, online with us here. And that's the wrong line there, bud. What is that?
That's over at the Holistic Center.
Is that the line to Dean Wheeler's place?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
I think they have like an Indian ceremony.
Why are we paying for a line to his place?
Because we get any breaking news from the Indian ceremonies and stuff.
We don't need late breaking news from the Indian ceremonies. What the hell is that about?
You want to have that up there, though. That time he said the cop beat him up.
Oh, bull crap. Is he paying for that?
Yeah.
Good. Because I'll tell you right now, I ain't paying for anything like that. All right, Father James McCorder is on the line with us from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. Just a very quick conversation with Father McCorder's here about the Tom Brady incident. Father McCorder's, how you doing?
I'm doing very good, Bill, and very pleasant good evening to all of you.
Father McCorder's, you're a football fan, huh?
I am a long-time football fan, yes. And I also a long-time resident of Baltimore. As you know, before I came west, I was in the Baltimore Diocese. For about 7 years, and became a big Baltimore Colts fan. And so that's why it's difficult for me to not be a Baltimore Raven fan, but I'm not a Baltimore Raven fan. The reason I'm not a Baltimore Raven fan is because I'm a football fan. And you can't be a football fan and be a Baltimore Raven fan.
All right, now that, I want you to tell me why.
It's a very simple thing. For those of us who understand the game of football and remember the game of football as I do, there was a man by the name of Art Modell. And this man took that football team from the great people of the city of Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, but they got the...
Hold on. Don't start writing a check with your mouth that your body can't cash.
What is that, a physical threat?
When it comes to the subject of the traditions of football, yes... I'll get physical with people. And I don't mean to say that. You know that I love you and you know that I respect you. But Art Modell took the Cleveland Browns and he moved them to Baltimore. And they gave them the name of the Ravens as if people were going to forget the stab in the back. The bloody stab in the back that Art Modell delivered to the people, the football fans of Cleveland, Ohio. And I'll be dipped and re-dipped and then glossed to a high sheen if I'm going to forget the knife he buried between the shoulder blades of the collective fans, the Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore, the Cleveland, and the people there, you see?
And so you're really carrying a sort of a torch, if you will, for the people of Cleveland when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens, huh?
You better believe it. That's why this coming weekend, whenever this game, when's the game? Is it this weekend?
No, it's in a week and a half.
The Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
Is that the end of it, then? Is there any more? What is the Pro Bowl?
The Pro Bowl's an all-star game. That's nothing. That's less than nothing.
So when's that happening?
That's this weekend.
That's not the Baltimore Ravens?
No, that's not. No, that's the Pro Bowl.
All right. Well, you're looking at me. I don't know. I'm a football fan, but I don't have these things tattooed on my wrist. I don't know the dates. I don't know the times. I'm an old man, Phil. So please forgive me.
It's all right. It's in New Orleans. It's going to be in a week and a half, a little over a week now. The Super Bowl.
Yes, I know they have it in New Orleans. They always have it in New Orleans, but I didn't know it was... So they take 2 weeks off instead of one, is that it?
Yes, they take a two-week period.
And why is that? To rest up the players?
Well, they probably would tell you to rest up the players, but they take 2 weeks, to be honest with you, because they want to get maximum publicity value out of the game. I personally think...
That's right. I appreciate it. I don't want to hear your opinion, Bill. The point that I'm trying to make is that I will not root for the Baltimore Ravens, and I don't think any real football fan should ever root for the Baltimore Ravens outside of Baltimore, and I can understand how the football-style fans of Baltimore would root for the Ravens. And I've got no problem with them doing that. The people of Baltimore have been football stars for a long time. But I will tell you that the rest of the football universe, and people understand the traditions of this game, would never root for the Baltimore Ravens because they stabbed the people of Cleveland in the back.
Well, hold on for a minute, okay?
Are you interrupting me again?
Yes, I'm interrupting you again. Should I not root for the L.A. Dodgers?
Oh, don't. Phil, it's not the same thing, okay?
Why isn't it the same thing? The Dodgers came from Brooklyn.
It's a long time ago. And Brooklyn, they only had two baseball teams in that bloody city.
They had the Brooklyn Dodgers, who were loved by...
Oh, you know something? Every time someone tells me about their beloved this, beloved that, the city of New York, the metropolitan area of New York City, had already two other baseball teams. They had... Well, no, they didn't. They had the Giants move, too, didn't they?
That's right. The Giants moved to San Francisco. So they had one.
All right. Well, how come the Giants get to move to San Francisco and the Dodgers don't get to move to Los Angeles? Tell me that. You can't tell me that, can you? Because the baseball fans of Brooklyn had had it too good for a long time. And plus, on top of everything else, it was a long time ago. It's almost 60 years, son. Not quite. It's not going to be 60 years. It's over 50 years, son. 50 years! 50 years! That the baseball team of Brooklyn, New York, moved to the city of Los Angeles, the city of the Angels, the West Coast, and Colin Sells, the Los Angeles dad. You see?
All right. I understand all of that. You still haven't convinced me that the Dodger move, or any move of any team anywhere, shouldn't be also-theme. Excuse me, I'm starting to lift.
Boy, do you... Woo-hoo! Get a little Marianne there. Is that right, Phil? What else do you want to say?
I'm sorry. It also seen as a stab in the back.
Well, I don't know about any of that. You asked me about football, didn't you?
Yeah, but Father...
Did you ask me about football or didn't you?
Yes, football.
All right, I'm telling you about football. And I'm telling you that about... 12 short, no, hold on, 10 and 7 is how much? 10 plus 7, you can't...
17.
That's right. 17 short years ago, 17 short years ago, Art Modell, look at the pair that she's got.
What?
Nothing. Art Modell...
What are you... You're a Catholic priest.
I'm sorry that... Would you turn the station, please, Father Staley? Turn the station. Turn the station, Father Staley. Thank you. I don't care. We're celibate. Look at him. What do you... I don't give... I already saw it, yeah. All right, put something up over the screen, but...
Would you talk to me and not Father Staley?
He's looking at some Cupid doll with a... All right. I don't care, Phil. 17 short years ago, Art Modell stabbed in the back the people of Cleveland when he decided that he'd move the Cleveland Browns to Baltimore. And the Baltimore football fans... surprised me by accepting that football team. If they had been thinking, if they'd been people of quality, if they'd been people who cared, they would have rejected the Baltimore Ravens and said, get away, get out of our city, don't ever darken our towns again. But they didn't do that. And so it is left to the fates to deal with them, and I say to you now that the Baltimore Ravens are going to lose the Super Bowl, and they're going to lose the Super Bowl game by 10 points or by. I'd give it 10. I've had the
cry. Father,
Hang on. The line went dead.
You know, there's something wrong with him, man.
Well, you say that about everyone that comes on this show.
There's something wrong with him. However, you just heard him say it. He's giving 10. He's taking San Francisco and giving 10 because he says that the football fates will punish Baltimore for accepting the Cleveland Browns as their own And that's just a load of hogwash. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'll take it out, but I'll give it bad vibes. You look at the parents.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show. Well, we don't do that anymore, do we?
No, because that's not what you are anymore. Remember, you're not a news talk show. You made a big point out of that.
Yeah, you made a really big point about it, Mr. Henry. Better follow through.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. I'm following through. Look, it wasn't like it was some big revolutionary statement. We don't do news talk, okay? I'm trying to save this format. They're going over to sports radio, man. I'm telling you, it's all going to sports radio. It is. I've been seeing the research. I've been hearing from the, I better not.
Advertiser?
Okay. Margaret, if I say it, I want to use the word. Do you mind?
Well, I think you need to be forthcoming.
I'm just going to say to everybody, there is a shift happening in the so-called spoken word format, and it's heading toward, it's heading away from news talk. I don't know, it's going to more entertainment-driven things, like, for instance, what I do. And people that are smart get it. People that aren't smart, they don't get it. But one of the beneficiaries is sports radio. You know, and here's the thing that's really funny. For any of you stations out there that are carrying my show, but you're thinking about going to sports, can I just maybe say something to you? And I hate to talk down to you, but I think I'm going to have to, because you guys have really got to pull your head out of your ass a little bit. Let me explain something to you. When I was on the sports station here in L.A., I was on a sports station doing the show that I do, which is essentially a comedy show. We had boxcar numbers, man. We had big ratings. Why? Because our show appeals to men. What does sports radio appeal to? Oh, really? Men too. Understand? Now, I know that the knuckleheads that program radio stations in this country, they don't think that. They go, well, it's called a sports station. Don't we got to do sports? No. Sports radio is another word for guy radio. Guys listen to it. Women like it too, but if you are talking about, oh, we want to get men, then sports is a pretty decent thing to start. But you can't talk sports 24/7. It's impossible. Stations that try to talk sports 24/7 are few and far between. New York is an example of a sports market where it works great. Even in L.A., even in the city of Los Angeles, where we have more sports teams than we know what to do with, we don't even have an NFL team, and we still got far too many professional sports teams. Even in this town, sports talk radio dies after a certain time of the night. So when you're talking sports, I mean, it's good. So you can't do it 24/7. So putting a show like mine on a sports station, or you know, any show that is comedy-driven or entertainment-driven that has a large male following, is a no-brainer. So, you know, and I got to explain this to these guys.
Well, don't they? They do the research, don't they?
These guys are not creative enough to think, durr. Oh, I'm going to have a sports station. I guess I better have nothing but sport. No, if you got a sports station, you got guys listening, and there's a certain time. It's kind of like some of these talk stations. On the weekends, they're not talking politics. They have, like, all kinds of garbage. What do they got?
Yeah, they got, like, gardeners and stuff.
Yeah, they have on a gardener.
Yeah, they get gardeners on there, you know.
I mean gardeners?
They have a gardening show or things like that. So that's something that I would say, and, you know, I don't expect anybody to, you know, to... I mean, we're living in a bleak time, you know, but there's got to be somebody out there that programs or manages radio stations that isn't completely brain dead and can figure this out. Sports radio is a place where we've done really well. All right, but having said that and anticipating that, you know, let me just say... what I'm saying is true, man. It's just leaving the whole political talk thing is being left in the dirt because the advertisers can't take it anymore, man. They can't take having people calling them up and saying, and another thing that I can say, another thing.
Well, that could happen in sports radio, too.
What are they going to say? What are you going to call it? Hey, hello, Mr. Burrito Manufacturer. I just heard them say that, what? That the Dodgers have got too many Mexican players? I mean, that's about as controversial as it'll get.
Yeah, they're always doing that, though. Some guy talking about a controversy.
What about Tom Brady?
What about Tom Brady?
That's controversial.
Well, what are you going to call up an advertiser and tell them about? What are you talking about, man?
Tom Brady did a very controversial thing. He almost jammed the cleat of his shoe into another man's reproductive area.
Okay, so what are you going to complain to an advertiser about?
You're going to complain that the cleat almost went into a man's, you know...
Right into a testicle.
Okay, so what is the advertiser going to say, but sorry to hear that Tom Brady did that?
No, but I mean, the talk show host is going to get blamed.
For what?
Well, the fact that he brought it, don't you think that's a sensitive topic?
No, are you nuts or something? He's going to, look, it happened in a football game. It's the biggest thing going. People are going to say, let's talk about what Tom Brady did. The guy's going to talk about it. You're going to say somebody's going to call an advertiser up and say, hey, they were talking about Tom Brady almost jamming his cleat in Ed Reed's groin. Is that it?
I would think there'd be some sensitivity.
No. No advertiser worth his weight. That's not a controversy. That's some old lady, you know.
Yeah, you said, though, all it takes is five people.
Some of them do. But I'm telling you, in sports radio, you don't have that problem. In talk radio, you got that problem. All you need are five disgruntled people to call up and say, I didn't like what that guy said. And some of these advertisers, they take it. Anyway, that's my take on that. Sports radio is guy radio. Guy radio is what we do. We do guy radio. I don't know. You know, you can take it or leave it. You can. Some people, man, I don't hold out too much hope for the brain trust in the broadcasting business these days. But hey, you know, there's always a chance. For Scott Maloney, some teen's selfless act last Friday will never be forgotten. Here's the story I was going to tell you about.
This is very sweet. I love this.
Yeah.
Is this the one with the little boy?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Hold on.
I just want to say, I'm sorry, Phil. This is an example of what young people, young teens can do, okay, to help their school. Yeah.
All right.
And can I just interrupt?
Yes.
Well, don't get an attitude. I just want to say, look at this little boy. Look at the face. See? See the face? Look, see? See?
This is a radio show.
Don't you have the Phil TV turned on?
Yes.
Where's the camera?
Right there, Ms. Gray.
There. See? See? The little boy is smiling. That's beautiful. Go ahead, Phil.
Anything else?
No.
All right. According to...
I'm sorry. Who's the...
Will you come on and let me finish this, please?
Gee. Sorry, Caligula.
Caligula? For Scott Maloney, some teen's selfless act last Friday will never be forgotten. Three nominees for Homecoming King at Union Community High School in Tennessee... surprised this special needs teenager and the audience members as well with a gesture that caused a little bit of shock and awe and great admiration. According to a January 23rd report in a local newspaper, Jesse Cooper, Drew Gibbs, and Zeke Grissom made an agreement. They made a pact. Essentially, they agreed that the winner with the most votes for Homecoming King would hand over the crown and the medal to Scott Maloney instead. The selfless act by these teens would not go unnoticed. Now, Scott Maloney is a beloved junior at the school. He has a genetic disorder, a genetic condition called Williams syndrome, which involves a problem with the nervous system. It hinders learning and the ability to properly speak. However, it doesn't stop, at least in Scott's case, it did not stop him from smiling. When the moment came for the winner of the Homecoming King to be announced, Maloney's teacher, Liz Hessel Gassaway, helped usher in the moment that not many will soon forget. When they called Scott's name, his eyes got really big, and I don't know that he registered exactly what was happening. He knew something was happening that was very, very emotional. The crowd erupted in emotion and thunderous applause, and of course, Maloney's eyes were as wide as a deer's. In fact, in that priceless moment, Scott appeared to be just as normal as any of his peers. Perhaps that's the magic of what joy can bring, if only for a moment. On that Friday at Unionville Community High School, it was one of the happiest places in Bedford County, Tennessee. And to show their support for the kind gesture from the teenagers, Scott received a standing ovation for 30 full seconds. And Jesse Cooper, One of the young people who decided, along with his two buddies, that if we win the Homecoming King, we're going to give this to Scott. He said, I've been blessed with so many things in my life. I just wanted Scotty to experience something great in his high school days. He said, this young man, Gibbs, Drew Gibbs, he said he's always happy, so he deserves some recognition for who he is. One of the nominees admitted that they would have merely placed the King's Medal on a shelf and would have likely forgotten about it. That's what one of the three guys said. He said, we decided, you know, if we were to win, we'd give it to Scott Maloney. So that's, you know, those are three young people. You know, I got to be happy. I've always said this, man. I think the kids today in our country are fantastic. You know, I think they're just great. And that's why I always feel good. You know, when I think about the future of America, it's going to be fine, man. We've got some damn good young people coming up, you know.
Can I say one thing, though? And I agree with you, Phil, 100%. That was a beautiful, beautiful act. As the mother of a son, and I have been blessed. My son, Jason J. Delmonico, is, knock wood, you know, is a...
Okay, Mark, you can stop knocking.
That's not me.
Come in.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's me. I was just checking to see if this is wood.
You come on!
I knocked wood one time. I did that. I didn't go...
Yeah, that was me.
And why were you doing that?
To see if it's really wood.
Come in.
No, you said that.
Anyway, so this is a beautiful thing, but you wanted to...
I wanted to mention one thing. I think if you turn it over to, and I believe it was the teacher, yes, a Scott's teacher, the story sagged. It sagged when she needed to be identified. Couldn't they have just said Scott's teacher... Liz, or Scott's teacher, and not mention... Because the story immediately sagged.
Why did it sag?
Well, her name did not lend itself to the moment. We're talking about a young boy. We're talking about three other boys doing a wonderful thing. And then we had to labor through this woman, Liz Hessel Gassaway. It took forever, as you were saying. And his teacher, Liz Hessel Gassaway. You see... So it the story, I think, at that moment lost some steam. It began to leak oil, if I can use, you know.
I agree with her. I don't know. That seems really...
Seems what, petty?
Yes. Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding, Phil. You're talking about this beautiful moment, and then all of a sudden... And then Maloney's teacher, Liz Hessel... Why couldn't it be just Mrs. Brown or Mrs. Judy Brown?
Because that's not her name. Her name is Liz Hessel Gassaway.
Well, isn't that nice? Why don't we just call her Lord Mountbatten? That's just as long and laborious.
Well, her name isn't Lord Mountbatten. If her name was Lord Mountbatten, that's what we would say. Scott Maloney's teacher, Lord Mountbatten.
Well, that's another thing. They didn't say Scott Maloney's teacher. As they were doing the story, as I recall it, when the moment came for the winner of the Homecoming King to be announced, Maloney's teacher, they didn't say Scotty. They didn't say Scott. They said Maloney, and then she gets to have Liz Hessel Gassaway. It just...
I think you are being super petty, okay?
Really? And what about that Gassaway? I don't think there is very good taste in the name. I know it's her name, but I think it's a little tasteless in this context.
Well, Margaret, how are you going to say someone's name? This is the woman that was quoted. They interviewed her.
I'm a journalist. You could ask, what is your name? My name is Liz Hessel Gassaway. All right, well, I can't use you. On to the next person.
I can't use you.
Yes, or you could just say, what is your name? Use the quote and then not use it because your editor is going to say, are you putting me on with the name? Get it out of there. Your story is leaking oil.
Margaret, I'm not a newspaper man.
Exactly.
All right, then if you know what you're talking about. But to me, that's pretty petty. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Congratulations to those three great young men. And to young Scott Maloney for being the homecoming king there at his high school. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You
the Phil Henry Show.
No. Liz Hessel Gassaway, that is the most ponderous.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Talk about that. No. I'm not saying that there aren't, there's bad people everywhere, but I think the young, you don't generalize young people any more than you do anybody else. And you don't say kids today. If you say kids today, you might as well say, you know, blacks today or guys with plates in their head, you know.
Well, guys with plates in their head, I would be suspicious.
Why?
Because automatically there is some issue with the, well.
With what?
If there's lightning or any electricity.
No, that's that.
Let's get off of that, okay? All I'm saying is I do not generalize. I think young people are great people, and I think they do great things. Now, are there bad ones? Yeah, sure. I mean, there's bad everything, and that's just where that's at. But I look around, and I see kids today pushing in the right direction, wanting to do the right stuff. And it isn't. And I don't mean they're being, you know, goody-two-shoe or anything else. They're creative. They're finding their own way. I don't give a crap of how they wear their hair, where they got tats. To be honest with you, I'd much rather a kid have, like, tattoos, just like a facial tattoo of a werewolf or a vampire, if he's like a decent person, you know.
Well, how are you going to know if he's a decent person if he has a vampire tattooed on his face?
What difference does it make?
Are you going to hire a guy like that?
In radio, yeah. What the hell? I could hire a guy like that in radio. But if you're talking about, like, that's his problem, you know. However, I would hire him. If I knew the guy was a good guy, I wouldn't keep him out of a job if he's got a vampire tattooed to his face. You know, it's kind of a drag that he did that. But,
Well, you're talking about a vampire tattooed, the image of a vampire, not a vampire tattooed on.
No, yes. God.
Phil, don't look at me like I'm just one big, sorry pain in the ass. It's a good question.
No, it isn't a good question. How are you going to tattoo a vampire on? It's the picture of a vampire. Or whatever the guy's tattooed to his face. I saw a guy. There's a dude that hangs out at the Starbucks I used to go to. I don't go to Starbucks anymore because I don't want to drink those fattening freaking drinks anymore. Even though when I was in San Francisco, I must, at this particular time, confess that I ordered two iced coffees, iced lattes for the road when I was driving home. I got to tell you, that was the most fantastic thing that I've had in my life. Those were delicious. And one other thing, I had some drip coffee yesterday at Bang Zoom Productions. Fantastic. The drip machine at Bang Zoom, it's beautiful. When I go there, I'm stealing it. All right.
You are.
No, I'm not. Anyway, I think that that was a marvelous thing the kids did. And I just want to say, you know, I don't want to belabor the point. It was a great thing. And I don't see that there's any reason why I'm supposed to get all upset and pissed off about young people. You know, I got more concerns about adults. I got far more concerns about adults that behave like this, you know, scum of the earth than I do about kids. Beware of crocodiles. Now, here's a story that's about as gone as you're going to hear, man. They lost 15,000 crocodiles in South Africa.
You're kidding.
No. No, I'm not kidding. Would I kid you? 15,000 crocodiles walked off of a farm or something like that.
They walked off. What was wrong?
What do you mean, what was wrong?
Well,
they didn't walk off of a job. It wasn't a. They didn't say, oh, wow, I hate this farm. I think I'm leaving. Are you kidding?
You said they walked off, man.
I got to tell you.
Phil, what do you expect when you hire people? Robert, did you get out of high school?
Yes, I did. But the way Mr. Henry said that.
What did I say? I said 15,000 crocodiles walked off of a crocodile farm or walked off of a farm. And you thought that meant that they were upset with something.
That's what it sounded like.
You're not saying anything, bud. You agree?
Yeah, I got to agree.
Well, the two of you really need to go in for a full diagnostic if that's...
What do you mean diagnostic? That's all they do with a car.
Well, I think we should start with a mechanic and work our way up to a doctor.
All right, take it easy. No, Robert, the crocodiles didn't walk off a farm because they were upset with the farmer or the food. They just got off the farm. The crocodiles sprung from the Rakwena Crocodile Farm in the north of the country of South Africa when owners were forced to open the gates to prevent a storm surge after the nearby Limpopo River rose. Now, there are 15,000 crocodiles escaping from this farm in South Africa following this heavy rain.
Well, they open up the gate.
Yeah, they opened the gates to prevent a storm surge. A number have since been recaptured, but at least half remain on the loose, scattered far and wide. One turned up on a school rugby pitch 75 miles away.
Oh, get out of here. How fast do these things walk? Well, what is so funny about that?
Yeah.
How fast do they walk? 75 miles away. Well, how long ago was it? I don't know. They got out. It doesn't say when they got out. They used to be only a few it says here, there used to be only a few crocodiles in the Limpopo River, said Zane Langman, the son-in-law of Johan Boshoff, who owns Rockwena. Now there are a lot. Yeah, I guess. We've been recapturing them as and when the local farmers phone us to tell us that there are crocodiles on their property, said Zane Langman, the son-in-law of Johan Boshoff, the second time they want you to know that in two paragraphs, who owns Rockwena. He added that most of the recapturing efforts were taking place at night. Crocodiles are apparently easier to catch at night because their eyes shine red in the dark.
Yeah, kind of like the rats in Dracula about the red eyes and the red blood.
Yeah.
What are they saying?
That's a line from Dracula. Thousands of rats, all red blood, all red eyes, like his, only smaller.
Yeah, me and Dracula.
I have to go get some coffee.
Okay. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show with hour number three. Next, and more on the crocodiles that got loose.
Phil Henry.